Welcome to Equipping the Body. I'm Dr. Brad Starnes, and today we're continuing our walk through the book of Luke, and we find ourselves in Luke chapter number 9, and we are picking up with probably one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. That is the time that Jesus fed the 5,000. This story is so pertinent in the lives of the disciples, or must have been, that we find it in all four Gospels. It is the only miracle that occurs in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this story shows us the compassion of Christ, how that he had compassion for the people that needed to eat, but it also shows us how Christ provides for his sheep. And in a theological sense, it shows us the divinity of Christ, because he can turn a few pieces of bread into thousands of pieces of bread. And of course, that being a miracle, it shows us the divinity of Christ, that Christ is God, that Christ has supernatural abilities. And so there's a lot to this story. Now, at this point in Jesus' ministry, if you back up in Luke chapter number 9, he had already sent out the 12 back in the first six verses. In fact, in Luke 9:6, we find this. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So Jesus had sent the 12 on mission. And then we have the little break where we talk about how Herod was haunted by what he had done to John the Baptist and so on. And then our Bible picks back up in Luke 9, verse 10, with the earthly ministry of Jesus. It continues, the scene shifts back to the Savior, and we find him feeding the 5,000. He's teaching in Bethsaida, which is about 50 miles, give or take, from Nazareth, and it's on the northeastern point of the Sea of Galilee, and it is there that Jesus fed the 5,000. Now, the name of Bethsaida literally means house of fish. It was a fishing town, not uncommon in that day, because fishing was a main source of income and for food for those living in and around the Sea of Galilee. So this is where Jesus and the disciples end up, geographically speaking, and Jesus did a lot of ministry in and around the Sea of Galilee. And so we're there once again. Now let's read our text. Verse 10, Luke chapter 9. And the apostles, when they had returned, well, where did they go? Well, I told you in Luke 9:6, Jesus had sent them out to do ministry. So when they had returned, we find they told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. So we see the disciples return from their mission, and Jesus pulls them aside privately and begins to spend some time with them. He has given them some type of rest, if you will. And we can't overlook the fact, the simple application here, that it's important that God's people, each and every one of us, take time each day to spend in a deserted place with Christ, if you will, in your quiet time. Now, that may be in your car riding down the road. You may, on the way to work, you may listen to your devotions through your phone or whatever. Or it may be one of those things that you get up early before you go to work and you read your Bible or grab your journal or whatever and spend that time in a deserted place, if you will, in a private setting with the Savior. And so that's what they're doing. It's the Bible goes to great lengths to make us understand. He took them and went aside privately into a deserted place. Jesus wanted their full attention. He wanted them to be with him. Okay. And so he does that. Now, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. So the multitudes hear that Jesus is around and they come to him. Many of them obviously following him because of the miracles, not following him for salvation, but following him for the show, for the miracles. We know that many of them followed him for the wrong reasons, because as his ministry dwindled, And anytime he got a big crowd, Jesus would always preach a hard message and then many of them would depart. And so, but at this time, Jesus is still very popular, especially among the common people. He's already made enemies with the Pharisees and Sadducees, but with the common people, he's still pretty popular. And so they hear Jesus is around and they want to come and see what is going on. What is he going to do? What is he going to say? Well, the Bible says he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. So Jesus begins to teach and to preach. Then he heals those who needed healing. Of course, we know Jesus did the miracles. He did the healings to solidify the legitimacy of his ministry. The miracles had a purpose, and that purpose was to prove that Jesus is, in fact, God. In fact, when he healed the paralytic man born of four, he even said, "So you know the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk." Because the Pharisees were, of course, thinking in their mind, how does this guy have the authority to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. And so Jesus said, "Well, just so you know that I can forgive sins, watch me do this miracle that only God can do," thus proving himself to be God. As Jesus himself said, "I and the Father are one." So he's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing. And then the Bible says in verse 12, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." And so the fact of the matter was this, that the day had worn away. People were tired. People were hungry. They were ready to eat, and they needed a meal. They needed food, something so simple, but yet something so important. Now, maybe they were like me, and they were getting hangry. You know, you get so hungry, you get a little angry. I don't know, but they were needing food. And so the disciples said, "Well, send them away that they may go into the surrounding towns, country, and lodge, get provisions, get whatever they need, because we don't have anything here." Well, verse 13, "But he said to them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." Although much consideration is given to the crowd when we speak about this miracle when Jesus fed the 5,000, when you read this story, remember that Jesus is teaching the disciples a lesson as well. How do they respond? Well, how would you respond? We know from the other accounts of the Gospels and from this account that their immediate response was doubt. Look at what they say. He says, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. So their immediate response is doubt. And we know from Mark's account that they even said a little bit more. They said, "Well, what shall we do? Shall we go and buy 200 denarii to get a worth of bread to give them something to eat?" Well, how much money was 200 denarii? Well, 200 denarii was 6 to 8 months' wages for a poor working class Jew. So in this we note the disciples had some sarcasm. In other words, they said, "Well, Jesus, what do you expect us to do? Take half a year's pay and go buy everyone food?" You see, they were looking at what they could do. They were not looking at what God could do. They were looking, God had laid out a vision before them. Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And they automatically looked at their own inability. Why is it when God calls a church to do something or an individual to do something, the first thing, "Well, I can't. Well, we can't." Well, it's not a matter of whether I can or whether you can. God can. You know, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? God can. And so they said, "You know, we don't have the ability to do this." And Jesus says, "Well, I'm about to show you something." He's about to teach them a lesson, okay? He's about to show them that little is much when God's in it. these two small salted fish and five little biscuits. That word loaf is not like our English word loaf. The Greek word that's translated here means it was a small little biscuit type deal, piece of bread. Little thing. And two small salted fish, what we call a poor man's supper. This small lunch, what's it going to do? Well, God is not limited by our inability. God can do anything. So what does Jesus do? Well, look, then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and they made them all sit down. Then he took the five loaves and two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. 12 baskets were taken up by them. They even had some left over. You see, when God does something, he's able to do above and beyond all that we could ever ask. He provided for this crowd physically, and that he provided them for a meal, but he also provided them spiritually, in that he gave them the message on the kingdom of God and taught them of the kingdom of God. But greater than the crowd's lesson, the disciples got a lesson. And that lesson was this: when God calls you to do something, he will enable it to come to completion. God called them to feed 5,000 people. We can't do that. Yeah, you can't, but I can. God has called you to do stuff, to do things for him. Whatever it may be, I don't know. But if God called you to do it, he will see you through it. I can tell you in my life, God called us into full-time ministry. My wife and I, of course, called me to be a senior pastor. I had no idea how I was going to pay for school, how I was going to pay for seminary. I had no idea how we were going to get out and do this thing that is ministry. No idea. But here we are. God is able to do that which he's called you to, because if he didn't plan on making it happen, he wouldn't call you to do it. God don't waste his time. He's not in the business of wasting his time. Now, back to the miracle itself, something I kind of want to talk about. It is a miracle because he took two fish and made many fish. He took five biscuits and made many biscuits. So it is a miracle. And that's what we believe it was, a miracle. Now, there are the liberal theologians, the liberal theories. I've heard one that, the crowd was impressed by Jesus' efforts to share, and so they all reached into their bag and brought their own lunch and began to share it with each other. And so they just wanted, they were just moved by Jesus' compassion, and so they just all wanted to share and just sing songs and be nice. That's an interesting theory, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God multiplied it through the power of himself, that Jesus made two fish, many fish, five biscuits, many biscuits. And so we have these liberal theories. Another one is this, and I remember learning this when I was in college. Again, not that the Bible says this, but the liberal denies the supernatural. They deny the miracle. They say, well, see, what really happened was Jesus knew that the Roman army had a nearby food cache in a cave, and so he sent his disciples, and they went and stole that cash and began to distribute it out to make it appear like it was a miracle. You see, these are the futile efforts of unbelieving men to explain away the power of God. I'm going to tell you what happened, okay? This ain't a theory. This is what happened. Jesus lifted these two fish and five small biscuits into the air, blessed it, in God's name, and God multiplied it out of nothing. Remember, in Genesis, God created the world ex nihilo, out of nothing. And so Jesus did the same thing here. Because if Jesus can create the world out of nothing, he can make some fish turn into more fish. That's the point. He is God. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We must stand on that, that when we see these miracles in Scripture, we don't have to explain them away. We don't have to try to come up with some theory. God said it, that settles it. God can do anything. Now, there's one more thing I want to look at in the text. That's this. The Bible says that there were 12 baskets left over. Now, why 12? Because each of the disciples had their own food basket. We know that it was customary to distribute the leftovers. In fact, the Romans mocked the Jews for carrying their baskets, and nothing was lost. And so it was cultural for them to carry a food basket, and there were 12 disciples, 12 baskets. But here's the thing. I think another point that Luke is trying to convey to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that when God does something, he wastes nothing. He wastes nothing. Nothing was lost. Nothing was wasted. He did so above and beyond that they were not only provided for that day, but they had provision for the road that lay ahead. And so this is the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. I hope you'll keep studying through the book of Luke, verse by verse, and consider everything that God has to teach us. Thank you so much for listening.